I drove 10 straight hours to get to the woods in Mississippi. No hotels, no towns nearby, just trees and dirt roads. That was the point. Disconnect for a few days. No work, no phone signal, no people. Just me, a tent, and some canned food. I parked off a trail that wasn't even on the map. No signs, no other cars. It looked untouched. That made it perfect. I walked about a mile into the woods until I found a clearing with a small stream nearby. I set up my tent, started a fire, and it was still light out, maybe about 5 p.m. The place was dead silent. No birds, no wind, nothing. I thought it was peaceful. I set up a small camera on a tripod just to document the trip. Nothing fancy, just a habit. I liked rewatching the hikes. Nothing ever happened. Until now. I ate, sat by the fire till dark, then went to the tent. I slept like a rock that first night. Nothing strange. At least, not yet anyway. Second night, something changed. I spent the whole day walking through the forest, took some pictures, followed the stream for miles. Around sunset, I started hearing rustling. Not a small animal kind of rustling either. It was heavier, slower. I stopped walking and waited. The noise stopped. I kept on going. After about 10 minutes, I heard it again. This time, it was closer. I turned around fast, but I didn't see anything. The trees were thick. It could have really been anything. I wasn't scared. I was just alert. Back at the camp, I ate quickly and kept checking over my shoulder. I turned the camera toward the tree line, just in case. The fire crackled louder than usual. Or maybe I was just listening harder. Around midnight, I heard a deep grunt from the woods. Not a bear. Not a human, either. I grabbed the flashlight and pointed it into the trees. I didn't see anything, but I didn't sleep that night. I kept hearing the crunch of something circling the tent. The next morning, I checked the area. No footprints, no broken branches. I thought maybe I was just tired, but the camera had recorded something. Around 3 a.m., the audio picked up heavy breathing, slow and steady. Something had stood just outside the frame for almost a full minute, then silence. That whole day, I stayed close to the tent. I felt like I wasn't alone. I kept glancing at the trees. They looked different now, like they were hiding something. I kept hearing low grunts, clicks, and branches cracking in patterns. Not random, not natural. That evening, as I was boiling water, I caught movement. Something was crouched between two trees. It was far, but I saw it through the camera. Not an animal, bigger than a man. It didn't move like anything I'd seen. I kept the lens on it. It still didn't move. It just stared. My hands were sweating. I whispered to myself to stay calm. The thing stood up. It was huge, 7 feet easy. Broad shoulders, arms hanging low. The second it straightened, it vanished behind the tree. I dropped the pot. The water hissed in the fire. I backed into the tent and zipped it shut, though I knew that wouldn't stop anything. I spent the next hour just listening. Every crack, every shift of the wind through the branches sounded like footsteps. The fire outside had died down to embers. I didn't want to go out to feed it. My camera battery was draining, but I couldn't stop recording. At one point, I heard a whistle. A long, slow whistle. Human-like. But off, like someone trying to mimic how people sound. It repeated a few seconds apart. I pressed my ear to the tent wall. I could hear breathing again, but this time it was higher up. Whatever was out there wasn't crouching anymore. It was standing tall, right outside. I didn't move. I didn't even blink. It scraped something across the side of the tent. A claw. A stick? I didn't care. I just stayed still until it stopped. That night, I didn't turn off the camera. I pointed it into the woods, in the same direction. Around 2 a.m., the camera battery died. No warning, just cut out. That sound was worse than anything else. The click of the lens shutting down. Then came the breathing again. Closer now. I could hear it outside the tent. Not even trying to be quiet. Slow. Deep. Raspy. It walked around the tent twice. I held my breath the whole time. Then it stopped right at the entrance. I didn't move. Couldn't. It didn't open it. Just stood there. Then, it walked off. I waited another hour before unzipping the door and crawling out. I didn't sleep. I kept the fire going and held the flashlight in one hand and a knife in the other. Useless, but it made me feel like I was doing something. In the distance, I saw two eyes reflecting the firelight, low to the ground. Then they blinked and disappeared. At dawn, I packed up everything. I wasn't going to stay another night, but the forest didn't want me leaving. The path I'd come through was gone. Trees, bushes, nothing looked the same. I walked in circles for hours. The tension was just unbearable. I kept hearing twigs snapping behind me, sometimes close, sometimes far, like it was toying with me. I screamed into the trees, told it to come out, to stop messing with me. Nothing. Just silence. Then something hit a tree near me. A rock, thrown hard. I turned around. Again. No one was there. My breathing was shallow. I crouched down, trying to collect myself. Then I saw something move between two thick trunks about 50 feet ahead. It wasn't walking. It was crawling, fast, like a predator getting into position. I didn't wait. I started running, not caring where. By noon, I heard it again, not walking now, running, branches snapping like bones. And I kept running too. No trail. I just pushed through thorns and roots. I didn't care. I just ran. And it followed. Never rushed me, just stayed close. Let me know I was being hunted. I tripped, fell hard, got back up bleeding. My legs were cut. My shirt was torn. I kept running till I hit another clearing. There, standing dead center, was the thing. Bigger than before, matted hair, long arms, face almost human, but not. No expression. It just stared. I turned and ran, heard it grunt before me. I didn't look back. My heart felt like it was going to explode. I slipped again, this time down a hill, and I hit a tree. I blacked out for a second, and when I came to, it was quiet. No birds, no breathing, nothing. I crawled into a holler under some roots and waited. Hours passed, maybe more. I was shaking. I didn't know where my gear was, and I didn't care. I just wanted out. Then I heard it again. A low growl, right above me. Its arm came through the roots, thick, hairy, with black nails like knives. I kicked hard, and it grunted, but it didn't let go. It pulled harder. I screamed, grabbed a rock and smashed it against its arm. It let me go. I backed out fast, scraped my back on the roots, but didn't stop. I ran through the mud, branches tearing at my face. I fell again, rolled down another slope. It pulled at the roots one by one. I kicked its arm. It grabbed my ankle. I screamed and kicked harder. Finally, I got loose. I crawled out of the back of that holler and bolted. I didn't look back. I just ran. I ran and ran until I saw a road. It looked real this time, not like the fake trails from before. I followed it, limping, until I heard an engine. A pickup truck came into view. I waved like a maniac. The guy thankfully pulled over. He asked if I was all right. I didn't answer. I just climbed in. We drove for maybe an hour before I said a word. He kept looking at me like I was crazy. Maybe I looked crazy. Maybe I was crazy. He dropped me at a gas station near town I had never heard of. My phone finally had a signal. I called a friend to pick me up. Even in the truck, I kept checking the rearview mirror. Every time the trees lined up just right, I swear I thought I saw it standing there, watching, not moving, just there, like it knew it didn't need to chase me anymore. I uploaded the footage. Only one clip had anything clear. The moment the thing stood up, it was blurry, but real. I posted it anonymously. A few people called it fake. Most ignored it. I haven't gone back. Won't. Sometimes I hear heavy footsteps outside my apartment at night. It's probably nothing. But I always check the lock twice now.
It started small. No mystery. No drama. Just weird glances between kids at school and the sudden silence during recess. My little brother Kyle started acting strange too. At first, it was small stuff. Sitting in the porch for hours, staring into the woods behind our house. Not talking much. Mom thought he was going through a phase. I knew better. Kyle used to be loud. He used to laugh at everything. 3 kids had already gone missing that year, all under 12. Nobody had answers. Cops blamed runaways. The parents looked destroyed. The town acted like it wasn't happening. But it was, and it was getting worse. One night I found Kyle in the backyard. He was barefoot, staring straight ahead into the trees. It was past midnight. His eyes didn't blink. He didn't shiver. He just stood there, like the cold didn't matter. "Kyle, go inside." He didn't even turn. I had to drag him by the arm. He didn't resist. He didn't say anything either, like he was sleepwalking, but awake. His skin was cold, not cool, cold. That's when I started staying up at night. A week later, he stopped eating properly. He just puked out his food, whispered things under his breath. I tried listening once. It wasn't English. It wasn't any language I knew. His eyes always looked tired, but he never slept. Just sat at the window, locked on the tree line. Every hour of the night, I'd find him there, completely still. The kind of still that makes your stomach knot. That's when I started staying up. I kept watch, not sure what I was even waiting for. I slept during the day, watched him at night. One night, he stood up and started walking outside again. I didn't stop him, not right away. I had a feeling if I stopped him, I'd never figure out where the others went. He walked across the yard, slow but steady, like he was being pulled into the woods. No flashlight, no shoes, just his pajamas and this dead-eye look on his face. I followed, quiet. My heart was hammering so loud I thought it might give me away. Every branch he stepped over, I did the same. I didn't call out. I knew whatever had him wouldn't like that. The tree swallowed us fast. It was darker than I thought it would be. I kept my eyes on Kyle. That was the only thing I could do. We walked for about 15 minutes. No sound but the crunch of twigs under our feet. Then, he stopped. I froze behind a tree. Something else was in the clearing. Tall, still, pale, no face. My brain couldn't make sense of what I was seeing. It was like my eyes were rejecting it. I couldn't breathe. Kyle walked up to it. It held out a hand. Kyle took it. He didn't hesitate. Like they knew each other. Like this was always meant to happen. I wanted to scream. Wanted to run and grab him. But I couldn't move. Not because I was frozen with fear. But because I knew if I rushed in, I might lose both of us. I waited until they turned. That thing started walking deeper into the forest, taking Kyle with it. Every step they took, I felt like I was watching something permanent. Then I moved. I ran straight at them. They were 20 feet ahead. I got closer, then closer. Branches scraping my arms. My foot sank in mud. I lunged forward, reaching out. And then they vanished, like flipping a switch. Gone, just me in the woods, alone. There was no sound, no movement, no sign they'd ever been there. Just my own panicked breathing echoing back at me. I stood there, shaking, turning in circles like an idiot. I called his name once, then silence. The silence that answered felt wrong, heavy, like the trees were holding their breath. I shouted, screamed Kyle's name. Nothing, not even echoes. Then I started hearing things. Not footsteps, not animals. Something else. Like a buzzing inside my skull. Like something was scraping the inside of my ears with needles. I turned and there it was. The thing. 10 feet away. Just standing there. No eyes. No mouth. Just looking. Somehow, its limbs were too long. Wrong, like they didn't bend the way they should. And I bolted. No plan, just pure instinct. Trees whipped past me. I tripped more than once. Got back up. I knew it was behind me. Even if I didn't look, every instinct I had screamed to keep moving. Every time I paused, it appeared again, closer, always just standing there. I didn't hear it move. It was just there, like it warped the space around it, like it could choose when and where to exist. My mind started tearing itself apart, trying to reason with what I was seeing. I kept running. At one point, I saw a tree split in half, like it had been torn, not chopped. My shirt got snagged on a branch. I ripped free. My lungs were burning. My legs were done. But I didn't stop. Something deep in me said that stopping meant being erased. Then I heard it. Breathing. Not mine. Wet and slow. Coming from nowhere. Then everywhere. That's when I knew. This thing wasn't human. Nor anything that ever belonged here. Eventually, I collapsed. Not because I gave up. But because my body quit on me. Face in the dirt. Blood in my hands. Then silence. Real silence. The kind that makes you question if sound ever existed. I didn't see it anymore. I didn't know if it was lost or if it just let me go. I crawled into a fallen log and hid behind it. I stayed there for hours, maybe the whole night. I was shaking, but not from fear. I think it was just the cold, or maybe the adrenaline finally wore off. My jaw hurt from clenching. My fingers were stiff. My body wanted to shut down again. When the sun rose, I forced myself up. I didn't know where I was, but I found a road. A truck driver picked me up. Took me to the hospital. They said I was lucky to be alive. They asked me where Kyle was. I lied. Said we got separated. I knew the truth wouldn't help. I knew no one would believe me. And honestly, I didn't want to see the look in their eyes when they realized I left them there. Even though I didn't. Not really. In that moment, I realized it was something worse than just losing him. Something had chosen him. And I had no idea why. I went home. Mom was a wreck. The cops searched the woods again. Nothing. No signs. No prints. Just my torn shirt and a scrape of blood on a rock. They filed another report. Said they'd keep looking. But their eyes said they'd already given up. I stopped talking to people. I stopped going out. I kept seeing Kyle. Not in my dreams. In the yard. At the edge of the woods. Staring at me. Always at night. Same pajamas. Same empty face, always silent, always watching. He never came close, just stood there, like he was waiting for something. Sometimes I tried to approach. He would disappear the second I stepped off the porch. It was like the forest swallowed him. One time, I thought I saw the tall thing behind him, just for a second. And then, it was gone, like it never existed. I don't think it follows me, but it knows where I am. I still live here. I don't know why. Maybe because leaving feels worse. Like running would make it stronger. Like it wants me to leave. And I won't give it that. The woods are quiet now. No more missing kids. Maybe it got what it wanted. Maybe Kyle was the last. Maybe I was supposed to be taken too. Maybe I still am. And this is all just a lead up. But I know it's not coming back. Not really. And whatever that thing is, it still watches. Still waits. Still whispers things I don't understand in the gaps between silence. I don't sleep much. I keep the lights on. And every now and then, when the night is dead silent, I hear the door creak. Just a little. I don't check anymore, because I know it's not the wind, and it's not Kyle.
I know it's been a while, but I still see pictures of my friends, and I cry. We'd known each other for years. We'd shared many things as Boy Scouts, and none of them deserved the fate that befell them. That night, we arrived in the Chattahoochee National Forest at dusk after a long hike. We decided to set up camp near a small clearing, surrounded by trees that protected us from the wind. While the others volunteered to fetch firewood and food, it was up to me and Tom to set up the tents. The minutes passed, and my friends didn't return. The sun was already going down. Tom, who had always been the most carefree of the group, began to show signs of anxiety.
Where are the boys? Don't you think they're taking too long?
They must have been distracted by something.
They'll be back.
I thought they would come back, although I was a little worried. I tried not to think about it too much, but every second that passed without news from the others made me more nervous. Finally, the darkness fell completely. Something was very wrong.
I'm going to look for them. They can't be lost. We're not that far from the camp.
You're right. Wait for me to fix this, and I'll go with you.
No need. You take care of that. I'll be back soon.
After Tom left, time passed slowly. I stood still, listening, waiting for any sign of my friends or Tom, but nothing. None came, and now I was terrified. Suddenly, I heard something. It was a low sound, almost a murmur, but it was coming from somewhere in the trees. I turned off the flashlight and stood silently, trying to locate where it was coming from. I thought it was Tom, so I approached, relieved. I kept walking until suddenly I stopped. That wasn't Tom. And that wasn't a whisper. It was a laugh. And it wasn't from any of my friends. I backed slowly towards the tent and hid in it, with my flashlight off and my eyes wide open. I had no idea how to react. I was frozen with fear. Then I heard it. Footsteps. Light but steady footsteps. Walking around the tent. I stood perfectly still, trying to control my breathing. I couldn't see anything, but I knew someone was there, walking around, watching the tent, knowing that I was in it. Then it happened. The zip at the entrance of the tent began to move, slowly, slowly opening. My heart was pounding in my chest, and terror swept over me. Someone was opening the tent from the outside. A man stuck his head into the tent. The man was terrifying. Maybe there wasn't much to differentiate him aesthetically from a normal man, but his look, his gestures, his smile. This man looked like a monster. Unable to move or scream, I just sat there, staring at him, not knowing what to do. He just looked at me, smiling, enjoying my fear. He crawled into the tent, his huge figure blocking the exit. Panic seized me, and before I knew it, I'd closed my eyes, expecting the worst. I felt his breath on my face, hot as his low, throaty laugh.
Hello.
Not knowing what to do,
I answered.
What do you want? What are you going to do to me?
I just came to visit. I'm a very curious person. Where are your friends?
I don't know. I'm waiting for them.
I think I saw them. If you want, I can show you where they are. I don't think they moved.
That was all I had to hear. My friends were dead. I let out a little scream of fear and closed my eyes again.
So much tension around here, don't you think? I know. Let's play a game.
What?
How about rock, paper, scissors?
Rock, paper, scissors. The fact he was even saying that was absurd and terrifying at the same time. My hands were shaking uncontrollably as I tried to process what he had just said. He stepped closer, invading my personal space, until I couldn't breathe without smelling his nauseating stench.
Will you let me go if I win?
Don't be silly. I'll let you go anyway. I admit, I like you, and I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a soft-hearted person. I'm bored. Let's play.
I had no choice. I had to play. Every fiber of my being was screaming that this was a trap, that I was doomed, that he would kill me, and no one would find me. But what choice did I have? I raised my hand, and he raised his too, his long, misshapen fingers ready for the game. We counted together. Rock. Paper. Scissors. I threw my hand forward with the desperation of someone who knows his life depends on it. He did the same. He had chosen scissors, and I had chosen paper.
I guess I win. That means I'm going to have to kill you, right?
But you said you wouldn't kill me.
Oh, did I say that?
The man wasn't laughing anymore. He slowly approached me, stretching out his hands to intimidate me, as if showing me that I couldn't escape. My legs weakened and I felt the world collapsing around me. But then, instead of attacking, he burst out laughing.
It's true. I forgot for a moment. I'm sorry. I'll let you go.
After that, the man approached the exit of the tent and left. Then he waited at the end of the exit with the tent open, politely inviting me to leave. I staggered out of the tent, my breath coming in gasps and my heart hammering in my chest. I started to walk to the car, but the man was walking behind me. I couldn't turn around. I couldn't look him in the eye. I had to keep going, hoping he would let me go. Maybe I could try to run, attack him, scream. No, none of that would be a good idea. My only chance was to beg him to let me go. On the way, I saw a few of my friends' bodies, or what was left of them, scattered on the ground. There was no sign of a struggle, only death. I stopped for a second, shocked at what I was seeing. He chuckled softly, but gently pushed me in the back, signaling me to keep going. As we moved forward, the distance between us grew even shorter. There was not even half a meter between his body and mine. As he got closer, I could hear his breathing behind me. The back of my neck was moist from his breath. He was doing it on purpose to scare me. And it was working very well. When we finally reached the road, I felt a horrible pain in the back of my neck. I screamed from it and the fear. And that's when I realized what had happened. The man had bitten me, tearing off a chunk of my flesh with his teeth. I could feel my blood running down my neck. And that was the sign that I couldn't wait any longer. I ran without looking back, knowing that if I did, I would be finished. When I finally dared to turn my head, he was there, standing at the edge of the forest, watching me as he chewed on the piece of my flesh. They never found the bodies of my friends. They only found me, bleeding to death on the roadside, on the verge of collapse. I always thought I was an unlucky person for what I experienced that day. Today, I think the opposite. I think I'm a very lucky person, as I survived what I would later learn was Gary Hilton, a dangerous serial killer known for hunting humans in the woods and leaving no survivors. This story is inspired by the crimes of Gary Hilton, a serial killer. He was an American known as the National Forest Serial Killer. Hilton was a predator that stalked people in remote forest areas of the southeastern United States, kidnapping and brutally murdering his victims. Gary Hilton is currently alive and serving multiple life sentences without a chance for parole from a Florida state prison. Furthermore, he was sentenced to death in 2011 for one of his many crimes, although he has remained on death row since then, awaiting the execution of his sentence.